the way good all of the time. Amen. Let me go right to Scripture. If you will, turn with me, or I suppose I'll have it on the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning to read there with verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Second Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 1. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Amen. You know, so many times presidents, rulers will be so adamant, first day, first 100 days, or right away in my authority. They set out their priorities right at the beginning, right? Well, here we are, the first year of his reign, and the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So, it was really high on the important list. Jumping down, same chapter 29, moving down to verse 17. Now, that began in the first day of the month. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. In the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. My topic tonight, it's, in fact, I touch on this topic a lot, quite a bit. And I think it is right that I would speak of it often, because it's a high priority. If I can convince somebody to do this, they will continue to grow in Jesus Christ. It's this topic: the powerful effects of worship. Amen. I was so, on Monday night in the prayer meeting, it was just an overwhelming sensation of how small I am. You ever get that feeling when you're in prayer, when the presence of the Lord has come upon you? It just, God seems so great, and it makes me feel so small. But you know what? He's a great big God. He's worthy to be worshipped. Would you do that for just a moment with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask God that, Lord, you would show us, Lord, the powerful effects of worship. Would you, God, give me anointing. Help me, Lord, to say of the Holy Ghost, Lord, Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding. And Lord, do your will, Lord, in all that is about us here in this house, Lord. I pray your hand, God, to be upon us. Lord, that you would direct this service, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, what you're doing even now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It was 2020, so it's not that long ago. 4 years ago, in 2020, I used this very same topic. It's slightly different, but only slightly. It's an important topic. The powerful effects of worship. Amen. If we can get that thought, if we can get that understanding in our heart, if it will become part of our character, it will make a huge difference in our walk with God. You know, there's a whole bunch of people in our world that it is their custom to go to church. Going to church doesn't even touch this subject. A whole bunch of people that go to church that don't have a right relationship with God. I hate to say that, but it's absolutely true. Going to church will not get you to heaven. Worship. Now, it's not the saving portion of our walk with God, but it is so integral, so critical, so important. I personally believe that you will not be saved if you're not a worshiper. Amen. Because it will hurt your walk with God to such an extent that it will harm your spiritual life. Amen. It's important that we worship. In this topic, in this reading in Scripture, Hezekiah, he became king of Israel at the young age of just 25 years old. To be king of the land at 25 is a lot of responsibility on a 25-year-old. He was like a breath of fresh air to the throne of Israel. After a long years period of rule by the wicked, godless kings that had went before him. Here comes this young man, 25 years old. He's appointed then to be king. And one of his highest priorities is to fix the house of God. Amen. Hezekiah's job was not, it's not going to be an easy one. You see, as the leader goes, so goes those that he's leading. If a king is wicked, then it's going to lead the kingdom into wickedness. Hezekiah had inherited a corrupt government and a people that were spiritually, physically, in every other facet of life, torn down. They were beat up by the condition of their lives and of their nation. Under the reign of his father, King Ahaz, the vessels of honor, those that were used in the tabernacle, in the worship, in the house of God, they were special, they were made specifically for worship in the house of the Lord. Those vessels were desecrated. used for common purposes, taken out of the house of the Lord. The porch, the altar, the work of the priests and the Levites, all of that had stopped. They quit having church. They stopped worshiping. Israel, due to ungodly leadership, wicked kings, had fallen out of favor with God. The nation was in turmoil. It was an enormous mess. Now, I paint this picture, and I feel like I'm living in the same picture. Our world is a mess. They're calling, our society is calling terrible, ungodly, unmentionable, just awful things as being good. It's messed up. I've seen some statistics. I didn't write them down, so I'm not going to cite them. But less and less people are even going to church. They're not even practicing worship in their lives. I pray it will never be so in my life. I pray all of the days of my life, until my last breath, I want to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. All of my life. If I live to be 100 years old, I want to be the old guy doing the best I can to worship. It's a high, important thing to worship God. Our world doesn't hold it in high regard. In fact, our world doesn't even recognize the importance. Hezekiah was faced with finding a way to bring Israel, the people of God, back into the worship of God, that they may gain God's favor. How do we get people to worship God? How do we get people to become in favor with God? Scripture that I read at the very beginning, it said, in the first month of the first year of the reign of King Hezekiah, he called together the Levites. Let's get the ones that God appointed to take care of the house together. And let's start at the front door. Glad to say recently we put new front doors on. They repaired the house of the Lord. It's a work day on Saturday. You know what? It's a part of our worship. That's what they did. They repaired the house of the Lord. They didn't stop there now. There's more, but it is something they included. Hezekiah ordered the Levites and the priests, get this now, to sanctify themselves. Nobody can make you live for God. You will either choose to live for God or you will not live for God. It's your choice. And a huge part of that choice is choosing to worship the Lord. Got the Levites and the priests to sanctify themselves and to reconsecrate their lives to the service of the Lord. Now, I realize there are people within our ranks, even within our church, that have a long history of knowing God. I grew up as a little kid in the house of God, going to church every service. The church doors were open. Bad weather, good weather, snowy or hot, get yourself to the house of the Lord. Amen. It was a high priority. And if you didn't have a ride, you walked. And if it was raining, just hope your big brother would let you use the umbrella. It was a high priority. Getting to the house of God, getting into the presence of worship in the house of the Lord, being a participator in the worship of God yourself. Amen. You see, they had to reconsecrate themselves to the service of the Lord. We're going to have a pastor's lunch on Sunday. And the primary objective of that pastor's lunch is that new folks will get an insight into our church. A little about me, a little bit of our history, and a little bit of our vision going forward. It's a simple purpose. And I do believe we will have a few new folks that are going to come that have never been to a pastor's lunch. But I also believe that there is a place in this church, in our lives, for people to reconsecrate their lives to the service of the Lord. Amen. Placing your hands on the plow and working in the kingdom of God. You know, if the same people that have done it before keep doing it again, then we're just going to keep getting what we've got before. But when there is an increase in the workers, there's an increase in the harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. None of that was in my notes. Well, the last little bit. Then he commanded the Levites, I'm going back to Hezekiah, he commanded the Levites to cleanse the house of the Lord. I think we should make the house of the Lord the very best that we can make it. Some people will look at it with a critical eye. Well, there's a lot of things wrong here. Light switch don't work. This or that, the other. Well, let's fix it. Let's make it better. The physical things, yes. And Hezekiah did that. He fixed the physical things. But he also paid attention to the spiritual things. It's not just physical. They cleansed the house of the Lord, yes. The next order of business was to offer sacrifices for their past sins. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary. You know, he repaired the house of the Lord, and then they began having sacrifices in the house of the Lord. It is a sacrifice for me to work in the house of God. In fact, I had told somebody just in a little small talk before church today, I would rather be in bed right now. I'm a little tired today. But you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's necessary in the house of God. So I did not choose to go to bed early. I chose to come to the house of the Lord. It is amazing. You see, they offered 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats. They made a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary. It is amazing how ready God is to forgive sin. Thank God. Thank God that we have a God that forgives us. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest paradoxes, one of the contrary things when you think about it. From the beginning of man until now, just how greatly God hates sin. God hates sin. Hates it. While he yet passionately loves the sinner. It is absolutely incredible. If they will repent, turn from their wicked ways, God will forgive them. There's water. You can have remission of sins. God is ready to make people right. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what you've done before. What God did, his innocent blood pays for the sin that was. Amen. That we might be redeemed in the name of Jesus. Amen. After a time of repentance, Hezekiah declared, "It's time to worship God." There is a time that we got to forget about being tired. There is a time that we got to forget about what went on before we got to church. We got to forget about the things that you're busy with on the job. We got to forget about what he or she said. We got to forget about all the other difficulties of this life. And we got to put all that aside and worship God. Put God above all that stuff. Put God in front of all that stuff. Put God in the forefront of your attention, of your priority, of what you are willing to do. I want. And nobody's going to make you worship. You got to want to worship, or you're not going to worship. It's just that simple. I'm trying to get people to want to worship the Lord. It's got to be a desire that we have on the inside that bubbles, I want to say, even boils over. I cannot hold it in. I don't want to hold back. I want to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's time to worship God. Hezekiah chapter 29, same chapter that I had read from in the beginning, but now moving down just a little bit more, verse 25. Let me pick up and read from there. 2 Chronicles 29, continuing at verse 25. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David. He had brought back the worship that David had instituted years ago. And of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Okay, they're getting ready. They got the trumpets out. They got the instruments out. And Hezekiah commanded to offer burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with instruments ordained by King David of Israel. When we sing songs in church, it's not underscore, capitalized, and slanty. It's not for entertainment. It's for the worship of the Lord. Musicians, singers, if it is not worship to you, you should resign. You should give it up. Choose not to do it. It's worship. It's time to worship the Lord. It's not a show. I'm offended. Oh, that was a great show. Man, what are you talking about? I know you weren't talking about our church service. You must have been somewhere else. It's not a show. It's not a performance. It's worship. I don't know how I can convey what is on the inside of me. It's worship. I think I stopped reading at verse 27, 28. And all the congregation. Now we just talked about the guys with the instruments, the people with the microphones. We just talked about the people on the platform and all the congregation. It's talking about the people out there. Stay with me now. It's not just the people on the platform. It's time to worship God. And all the congregation worshipped. And the singers sang. And the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. As church is going on, it's a time to worship. It's a time to give yourself. You know, you can't worship for somebody else. Somebody else can't worship for you. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Verse 29. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. From the highest to the lowest, all of the congregation worshiped. I got to pause right there. It is the will of God that from the front to the back, the people standing out in the foyer should be worshiping. The people standing at the doors should be worshiping. The people who get here early enough to sit on the very back row should be worshiping. Sorry about that. From the front to the back. All. Did you get that part? All of the congregation. It's the will of God. Not just the king. Not just the minstrels, not just the singers, not just the instrument players, but all of the congregation is to worship. I've learned worship really is contagious. I mean, not just getting loud, but true, heartfelt, intimate, meaningful, individual worship. You know, she might worship different than he, and he is different than me, but every one of us needs to be worshiping. Every one of us. Oh, it's so cute, that little boy had his hands up. If that boy is worshiping, God likes it. And little kids can be worshipers. And God loves it. God wants that little kid to worship. In Bristol, long ago, she's gone on to be with the Lord, but Sister LeBeau used to kind of jiggle as she tried to take the next step. You know what? That was all the worship that you know, she was little, and she was old, and she probably weighed 72 pounds. But man, she gave it all she got. And God loved that worship. I'm absolutely certain of it. It was inspiring to me to see that worship. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Verse number 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph, seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. You know, our singing those songs at the beginning portions of our church, it's more than just singing. It needs to be true, individualized worship to God. Amen. And all that went on, all that Hezekiah had in his heart, all that he led those Levites and the priests and the people, the congregation, all that he had done was accepted as worship before God. It was noised abroad to their brethren. throughout every tribe and every kingdom, all around, the people of Israel have returned to God. More importantly, God had returned to Israel. Hezekiah made a proclamation from Dan even to Beersheba. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, the next chapter, verse number 9. For if ye turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. He will not, excuse me, I forgot, I missed a word. That's pretty important. Don't miss that one. And will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. You know what your worship will do? It will draw someone else to worship God. And when that someone else begins, they don't even have to be a very good worshiper. But when they begin to worship God. You know, it's hard to say everyone. But when most of the people are worshiping God with their whole heart, magnifying Him, crying out to God and praising and worshiping, and they are personally involved in worship, it encourages other people to lift their hands and worship. It feels natural to that person. Well, I should just do like they're doing. Right? That's human nature, right? But it's also a spiritual principle. There is a powerful and relevant illustration hidden away in the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had done everything within his power to bring God back to Israel. And Israel back to God. Sanctified the priests and the Levites. They cleansed the temple, the church house. They refashioned and reconsecrated the holy vessels. They offered 4 of the 5 Levitical sacrifices for sin of the nation. After all of the above, after doing all of that, all the preparations, all the work, all the effort that had gone before, after all of that, though these acts of contrition and repentance I'm certain that they pleased God. God was pleased with each of those things. Israel still stood alone. I'm pausing on purpose right there. Getting our church perfect, facility-wise, is not going to save the lost. It was only after Israel began, individually and collectively, to worship God, that their deliverance and their victory was provided. Do you want your loved one to know God? Worship God. You need a healing in your body? Worship God. You want God to intervene in your family? Worship God. Worship is so very powerful because it brings us closer to God. Yeah. It brings God because God inhabits praises of Israel is really what the scripture says, but I agree, it means of God's people. God becomes closer to us when we draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. It's amazing how that works. But it works every time. It's not just one person's method. It's the principle of worship. Take advantage of the principle of worship. Choose. And again, it's your choice. You can sit back and, yeah, pretty good service. And you're going to go home unchanged. Still sick. Still troubled. Still with the problem when you reach the front door of the house. Nothing in all probability is going to change if you choose not to worship. It's got to be your choice. Take advantage. I think our church is a great place to worship. I've been to General Conference. I've been to youth convention. I've been to really big services with, 10,000 plus people. And there's no greater presence of the worship of God in that service than in this one. In fact, I prefer this one. I like to worship God in our church. It feels good to worship God in our church. Amen. I think it's easy to worship God in our church. Praise the Lord. Worship is powerful. When you don't wait on the worship leader to prime you. And I'll tell you, it's a little pet peeve of mine. Maybe it's a weakness in me. But when worship leaders demand things, they're supposed to be leading, not driving. You don't see any bus drivers in the back of the bus. Drivers are always in the front of the bus. Worship the Lord. And everybody else in the bus is going to come right behind you. I don't know where that came from. Don't Don't wait on the worship leader to tell you to worship God. We should be worshiping before he ever steps to the platform. We need to enter into his house with thanksgiving, praising the Lord, worshiping him. It should be our intent when we enter, when we come in. It's time to worship the Lord. Pre-service prayer is worship time. It's not, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul, the Lord, to keep. No. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. The worship service is an integral part of every service. In fact, we perhaps should quit referring to the worship portion of our service as preliminaries. It's not preliminary. Worshiping God is primary. It's a primary purpose of coming to the house of the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Greeley. Well, that's why I've come. To praise the Lord. To worship God. That's why I come to church. Worship isn't just preliminary. Worship is primary. If we come to the house of God and fail to worship Him, why did you come? Come with the intent to worship God. Every time, every service, intend, purpose, fulfill worshiping God. Oh, I've been praying for my son. I've been praying for my daughter. Daddy, you better be showing your kids how to worship. That's a primary job of a dad, is to show his children how to worship. I do take that job very seriously. I want to show my loved ones, not just tell them. They can be told and not listen. But if you will lead them, show them to worship, they're going to learn it. They're going to get it. The word of the Lord commands us to worship Him with all. Someone say all. Good, good. More than one person said it. All our heart, our soul, and our mind. I understand people who, you know, every one of us is born and live in a fleshly body. And there is a carnal nature that comes attached to being born in the flesh. We are in a spiritual battle with that carnal nature. And it's not in the carnal nature to worship God. It's in a spiritual one. How? Well, I do know how. They're letting the carnal side win. If a person is not worshiping, they're letting the carnal side win. The spiritual side is losing. Now, when that person that is new or is coming back to the house of God, if God is moving on someone and they begin to worship the Lord, something spiritual is happening. Something powerful is happening. How can they sit there and remain unmoved, uninterested, uninvolved in the presence of the Lord? The carnal nature is winning. You know what? We got to put aside that carnal stuff and choose to worship God that our spirit might be lifted up. It's your choice. Do you want God to intervene in your life? Worship the Lord. Do you want God to help you in your problem? Then worship the Lord. Psalm 115, verses 17 and 18. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Don't just sit there. Do what you can, but praise the Lord. Sister Janie's got a cane, but she can praise the Lord. Going just as fast as she can. Slow down, sis. Keep worshiping. Keep praising. It's important. Do what you can. You don't have to worship like anybody else. You figure out how worship happens in your life. And worship the Lord. With our hands, we can clap, we can lift them up, we can play skillfully. Well, some people can. I'm not one of those, but I can clap enthusiastically, sometimes offbeat. With our mouth, we can sing praises to God. Not just words. It should be something that you can feel as you are worshiping the Lord. Shout unto God. Testify of His goodness. Tell somebody how good God is. With our body, we kneel, we leap, we dance. There's lots of ways to worship God. Don't forget the purpose of worship. It's to lift Jesus up. Not us. Not our talent. It's not our ability. What we do is to worship the Lord. It is amazing to me, and I've seen it so many times, how that sometimes there are people that will worship when they got the spotlight and then stand there like a bump on a log when the light's not shining on them. You know, I'm a very picky pastor. If I see that evangelist all excited when he's got a microphone in his hand And then when people are playing in the altar, he's off walking around, uninterested, not praying. Well, he ain't ever coming to our church, I can tell you that. Well, if he is, he's sitting in the pew, not on the platform. I'm more interested in having the Spirit have his way than having a... Oh, man, I should quit. Madeline. Yeah. But it's what I see. I love this crowd, this people. I love God's children so much that I want them to be touched by God. I pray that God would use us. And I want the people that are invited here to speak, to say of the Holy Ghost as God anoints them to preach, to pray, and to worship. Some singers have the same problem. Some people have the same problem. Too often our attitude toward worship is indifferent, uninterested, unattached. Oh, but Brother Greeley, I'm not worthy to worship God. You're right. None of us. On Monday night, the topic of worship was on my mind. It was in my heart. It had come upon me. Why I'm speaking on this topic this evening. But when we realize how great and wonderful and powerful and magnificent God is, that carnal part of your flesh gets so small. And He gets so big. Oh, it just makes me smile from the inside out when I think of praising the Lord. I've heard it said, find someone to play the piano Pentecostal style. Worship the Lord. Oh, but Pastor, my guest came with me. That's the time you really need to worship God. Oh, man, you need to pull. Thank God. God. Woo-hoo! Man, go ahead and shout right now. Especially if you're sitting right next to him. I don't think there would any worse testimony than to have your guests show up for you. You've been inviting them, you invited them 8 times, 20 times, and he finally showed up. The worst thing you can do is sit on the pew uninterested. That's the worst thing you can do. Worship the Lord. Worship with the music. Worship with your giving. Worship with the preaching. Worship all that you can. In fact, I've had men of God, pastors in my life, that would say, if you can't worship with the preaching, you shouldn't be worshiping with the music and the singing. Worship the Lord. If it takes a piano, a drum, and a bass to get you to worship, go ahead and repent right now. Get right with God. Get the carnal nature under control. Shrink that little man. And let God be great. Worship the Lord. Stand with me. Worship is always proper. It is a proper approach to God is to worship. The leper in Mark 8 fell down at his feet and worshiped. He got cleansed. One of the 10 lepers turned back in Luke 17. He fell at his feet and glorified God. That man got his nose put back on his face. Not just healed of leprosy. The signs of leprosy left. Would you like God to put your life back together? That you couldn't even... Oh, I never imagined that you used to be like that. You know, God can make it so that there is no sign of that carnal, fleshly man. That's not the side that people see anymore. Because you choose to worship the Lord. Even the demoniac from Gadara, he came out of the tombs, of the graveyard, to meet Jesus, and what did he do? He worshiped him. I tell you, anybody who comes in the door, if they will choose to worship the Lord, God will accept that worship. Would you join me? Would you worship him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. I worship you.